Mark Falter is a registered investment advisor representative of MidAmerica Wealth Advisory Group. MidAmerican Wealth Advisory Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that any discussion or information presented serves as the receipt of or a substitute for personalized advice from a financial professional and is not intended as an offer of solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. All investing involves risk, whether it is associated with market volatility, purchasing power, or specific security, including the possible loss of principal. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments, including money market accounts offered through MidAmerican Wealth Advisory Group, are not FDIC insured. Welcome to the Retirement Income Hour with Mark Falter, a show built with your financial future in mind. Here's your host, Mark Falter.
Well, welcome to the Retirement Income Hour. I'm Mark Falter. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your weekend to listen to us. And I say us today because I have a special guest on my show with me today. His name is Phil Anderson, and we are here to talk about estate planning. Phil is an attorney that we have worked together for a long time. It's an interesting thing on that topic. I get a lot of calls on our shows on the weekends, and I don't know, you know, X amount, let's just say, and I usually will do times two when I talk about the topic of estate planning. And of course, we have workshops on it and so forth, but I will tell you that Phil and I have worked together for years. I don't even know how long. And most of what I've learned about estate planning, I've learned from Phil. So I wanted to get him on the show today because he is the guy that's doing our estate planning for us. And I think you guys are going to enjoy this. And I know you're going to learn a lot about estate planning. So tell us, Phil, where, I guess you've got two offices. Is that correct? Your offices are located where again?
I have, and first of all, thanks for having me on, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I have an office in Overland Park, and I also have a location in Northland to meet with clients as well. That being said, I am also available to meet with clients at their convenience at a location that is convenient for them at a time that is that is convenient for them as well.
Yeah, so good. You know, so if you're listening to us and you want to get an estate plan done, by the way, I'll tell you this several times during the show here, that if you want to get an estate plan done, of course, you can give us a call, and he will do one for a married couple for $1,500. That's a very good price. I don't know if you've ever priced estate plans, but they're usually in the $3,000 to $5,000 range, and that's a trust, too, for both husband and wife. But we're going to talk about my goal in this show, and I talk to you all the time, for those that are loyal listeners, about this being a show with your financial future in mind. The goal in today's show is to educate you on estate planning. And we're going to talk really about a couple of main topics. We're going to talk about first why estate planning is important. And then we're going to go into some of the components of a good estate plan. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm going on about Phil too much, but I will tell you, I've never asked this man an estate planning question that I didn't he didn't know the answer for. And if he doesn't have the answer, he will make one up. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. But Phil is actually a graduate of KU Law. He graduated in 1997. And now this is important. This is very important. That is, he practices exclusively in the area of estate planning. You're going to hear me say that more than once during the show because really, any attorney can do a will or a trust, but man, it makes a big difference when you're dealing with one that deals particularly with estate planning. He's done over 1,000 estate plans, and he's done a whole lot through us. So let's start off, Phil, by answering a few people's questions. You know, we're going to basically talk about some of the unnecessary legal costs. So why estate planning is important is, one, you avoid unnecessary legal costs. Tell me real quick, I mean, what have you seen in the way of unnecessary legal costs people encompass when they don't have an estate plan?
Well, there really are two main areas, in my opinion, where You deal with unnecessary costs that arise when folks don't have an estate plan in place. Primarily, and first and foremost in my mind, is costs associated with probate. Let's say that you pass and you don't have anything in place that will direct the court or direct someone through a trust, a successor trustee, to distribute your assets in the way that you want, and things have to go through probate. That is very costly, not for you because you have passed, but for your beneficiaries. They're going to have to sit through months of hearings, hire an attorney if they want to get it done in any quick fashion at all, and it's not quick. It's going to be a long time. They're going to spend a lot of money, and if you don't have a will, then your assets might not go where you want them to go. And so that's one thing. Additionally, if you become incapacitated during your lifetime, so you're still living, but you're incapacitated, if you don't have, and something that I tell people they need, whether they have a penny or $1 million, is a power of attorney to allow someone to act on your behalf if you should become incapacitated.
A financial power of attorney.
A financial power of attorney. Mm-hmm. You also do have, I also highly recommend, a healthcare power of attorney that will allow someone to make decisions for you in the healthcare realm. If you don't have those, someone's going to have to go to court. Again, courts get involved. We're talking about money. Someone's going to go and become your guardian and conservator. Guess what? Hiring an attorney and getting that done costs thousands of dollars just to pay your bills. So
you and I worked on a case. I don't remember if you remember. I won't get into her last name, but her first name, well, I won't even get into that. But anyways, you and I worked on a case, if you remember, where she and her husband came in, and they had both had dementia. And anyways, his was more rapidly advancing than hers. And long story short, she had to go through conservatorship. And I use her example in my workshops a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it was a sad situation. He couldn't sign any documents,
right.
And I had to make that call based on some questions I asked him, and it was clear that he lacked capacity, and so he couldn't sign his documents. And I hated to do that, but that's just unfortunately what we have to do. And she had to spend a ton of money just to be able get access money that was hers as well as his, mm-hmm. but she didn't have that capacity. She didn't have that ability legally.
And I tell people this story because I'll tell you the numbers. I remember numbers sometimes better than I do names. There was $1.4 million in assets. $1.2 million was in his name. $200,000 was in her name. He went into basically a nursing home, and everything went into conservatorship. And overnight, she saw her assets go from $1.4 million down to $200,000. Because $1.2 million for her to get access to that money, which was his money, she had to go to court to get it done. Everybody thinks, well, I'm the beneficiary. You are the beneficiary, but you're not the joint owner. It's an IRA that it's in, and they don't want to talk to you. They don't know what the relationship is, and you don't really have access to the money until he dies. And that process of dying could take months. So, yeah, very good points on avoiding some of the unnecessary legal costs. Now, if you are listening to us today, and you think, you know, that's something that heavily concerns me, and you want to get more information, but the most common question that people have is, what information do I need to come up with before I go see Phil or some other attorney? Well, Phil and I have put together a thing we like to refer to as the 16 questions. 16 questions, and that is, if you answer these 16 questions, you're going to be 85 to 90% of the way home as far as development of a good estate plan. And then you can take that to your attorney or to Phil. And as I said, he'll do them for $1,500 for a full-blown trust on both husband and wife, and start the process rolling. It's a very good process to have done. And if you want to get the 16 questions or just set up a time to talk with Phil about your estate planning needs, I'd encourage you to give us a call at 844-777-6275. Again, 844-777-MARK. You're listening to the Retirement Income Hour. I'm Mark Falter. We're here with Phil Anderson. Phil is an attorney that we have worked together for a long time. You know, we talked about unnecessary legal costs. But another thing that people don't realize that's important to get around, Phil, is the avoidance of a thing called Medicaid spend down. What is Medicaid spend down?
Medicaid spend down, generally speaking, because this is a very technical area and a complicated area, to qualify to receive Medicaid benefits, you have to basically become poor. You have to make yourself indigent or poor and get down to a certain amount of assets that you have to qualify for Medicaid. Medicare is different, of course. That's something you just qualify for based on your participation in the system throughout your life, paying those deductions. But Medicaid spend down is something you have to qualify for.
Yeah, and see, to get it down, I think I'm pretty accurate on this. This may be a little bit out of date, but basically you've got to, as a married couple, have your assets down under $102,000. You can have a house and a car as a married couple, $102,000 in total assets. That ain't much. And as a single person, you ready for this, drum roll, please, $2,500, as in don't take much. If you get over that, then Medicaid does not pay. Medicaid has got one sole purpose, paying for a nursing home. And if you have over those assets, you have to spend it down. There are certain types of trusts we're going to talk about here at the very tail end of the show that can help you avoid Medicaid spend down. But, you know, those are some of the technical reasons why I think having a trust is so important. However, you get into some of the more of the visceral reasons, which are basically just, you know, helping relieve loved ones from tough emotional decisions. I mean, I'm sure you've seen scenarios, Phil, where people have had to make some decisions they didn't really want to make.
Oh, absolutely. It's heartbreaking, actually, when you get into situations where maybe someone's got the power of attorney for someone who's incapacitated. They're trying to get them into a situation where they can Medicaid can spend can pay for those costs. maybe they had to do a spend down or not. Maybe they were just at that point in their financial life where they needed to use those assets. This is just part and parcel of all of a global look at how you get through those years at the end of our lives when we're trying to do the best for our families and protect our loved ones, both beneficiaries, for your protecting your children from dealing with this, and children protecting their parents and doing that in the best way possible. It's a complicated process and definitely something that requires further discussion, but these are definitely areas that you need to be thinking about if you're getting older, and that is something we all do.
Unfortunately, we do. Yeah. I just had a birthday yesterday.
I got one coming up.
I'll tell you what. You know, you've heard the saying, old too soon and wise too late. But all of a sudden, at 57 years old, it started making sense. Now I understand. Boy, yeah, we're all getting older at the same pace. And, you know, you don't realize all the things that are going to happen. And, you know, like I said, helping reduce those family tensions is a big deal now. In a minute, we're going to talk about one of the ways to get the trust to help reduce those family tensions and stop any potential for contesting. We're going to talk about that in a minute. If you're wanting to get some more information on how to set up a time with Phil or get what we refer to as the 16 questions, the questions you can answer, the sheet you can go through, very simple one-sheeter deal where you can go through and actually answer, you know, most of the questions you need answered for development of an estate plan. I'd invite you to reach out and ask us. We're here all the time, 844-777-6275. Again, 844-777-MARK. We're talking about estate planning today right here on the Retirement Income Hour.
Mark Falter, 844-777-MARK.
Did you know that once you turn 72, every year Uncle Sam will be looking for a portion of your retirement savings? So now's the time to make sure you understand RMDs, required minimum distributions. What is an RMD, you ask? These are amounts that U.S. tax laws require one to withdraw annually from traditional and employer-sponsored retirement plans once you hit age 72. If you don't, good luck in your dealings with the IRS. That's why Mark Falter has your back and put together RMD workshops so you can learn all you need to know about RMDs. Mark's next RMD workshop is set for
November 9th at 6 p.m. at Tres Omare.
Isn't it time to make sure you have all the answers you need concerning RMDs? So be sure to join Mark's next RMD workshop happening on
November 9th, 6 p.m. at Tres Omare.
To register for this RMD workshop, call 844-777-6275. That's 844-777-6275. Or log on to IncomeHour.com.
It takes a lot to win a football championship. You need an excellent coach, committed players, and a superb game plan. MidAmerican Wealth Advisory can provide you with those exact elements to help you win the game of retirement. I'm Mark Falter. My team and I are committed to helping you have the stress-free retirement you deserve. We will guide your game plan from the growth stage of investing to the income stage. Can you afford the ups and downs of the stock market without a game plan? Of course not. That means you need an advisor who understands investments that produce interest and dividends. In retirement, it's all about the income. Make sure your retirement portfolio is a winner. Call MidAmerican Wealth Advisory today at 816-640-5888. That's 816-640-5888, or log into MidAmericanWealthAdvisory.com. Let us help you be a winner in retirement.
Investment advisory services offered through MidAmerican Wealth Advisory Group, Inc., an SEC registered investment advisory firm.
We know you're busy and have a lot of things to do on a weekend. Some days it's truly hard to do the things you want to do. Well, now you can listen to the Retirement Income Hour with Mark Falter at a time and a place that's convenient for you. Mark Falter and the Retirement Income Hour is available on a podcast. Yep, now you can listen at your convenience. Simply head to your favorite podcast app and type in Mark Falter and you'll find the show. Oh, and be sure to subscribe and you will get updates on new shows. Mark Falter and the Retirement Income Hour, now available on podcast. The Retirement Income Hour, a show built with your financial future in mind.
Do you have financial retirement questions that are just boggling your mind and you're looking for answers? Well, Mark Falter would be more than happy to address those questions right here on the Retirement Income Hour. Email your questions to info@IncomeHour.com, and you may hear your questions answered in an upcoming episode of the Retirement Income Hour. Not only will you get the answers you need, but if Mark should read your question on the air, you'll receive a copy of Mark Falter's new book, Common Sense Income Strategies. Again, that email address is info@IncomeHour.com. Thanks for listening to Mark Falter and Retirement Income Hour.
A definition of virtual. Not physically existing as such, but made by software to appear to do so. Wow. Things have certainly changed. Our communities have changed. The economy has changed. Our lives have changed. It seems no matter where you turn, virtual seems the way to go, from business to pleasure. However, when it comes to your retirement is not virtual at all. It's absolutely real, with real necessities like food costs, health care, car payments, and other expenses that unfortunately don't accept virtual money. To keep you in the know, Mark Falter has put together a series of webinar events because your need for income in retirement will never be virtual. It will always be real. For more information on the dates and times of Mark's webinar events, call Mark Falter at 844-777-MARK. That's 844-777-6275.
Mark Falter, the Retirement Income Hour.
To get this week's free information, text the word booklet to 816-640-8218. Once again, here's Mark.
Well, if you're just now tuning in, you're listening to the Retirement Income Hour. I'm Mark Falter, a show built with your financial future in mind. Now, right before the break, we talked about, by the way, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about estate planning. We're here with Phil Anderson, and Phil is a graduate of KU Law, 1997. Phil works exclusively with estate planning. He's done over 1,000 estate plans himself. And best part of all, by working through the Retirement Income Hour and our practice, Mid-American Wealth Advisory, we have negotiated a very good discount with Phil. He'll be able to do a trust for $1,500 for a married couple. But we were talking right before the break about avoiding family tension. So what is it you do with a trust, Phil, that helps avoid somebody contesting?
This is a very important topic, and sometimes a thing that folks don't think about. They think, oh, my family gets along. Everybody's going to be fine. You cannot see into the future. You don't have the crystal ball. I certainly don't have one. If I did, I would be wealthy beyond my imagination. But, you know, things do come up when people find out, hey, I'm getting this, I'm getting that, and others aren't. And so the best way to avoid any contest or contestation of a trust or a will is to make it absolutely crystal clear in the documents that you create, trust, will, what have you, exactly what you, where you want things to go. And so it's vitally important to make sure that things are clearly stated in these documents. Additionally, all the documents I do, whether it be a will or a trust, they contain do not contest clauses. And these are supported by both Missouri and Kansas law, the states in which I'm licensed to practice. They say that if anyone contests the trust or the will, they forfeit anything that they would have otherwise received under the trust or the will. Or if they weren't named at all, well, then that's another slam dunk against them. So it provides a very strong disincentive that's supported by state law and the document for someone to contest the will and the trust. Now, why is all this important? Because one of the primary things that I think about when I'm helping someone put together their estate plan is, how do we honor your wishes? How do we honor your legacy? How do we make sure everything that you have that you want to specify to go to specific people goes to those people? And the best way to do it is through a trust, possibly a will, if you wanted to go that route. We can go into a bit more about why a trust may be a superior vehicle for most people, even if you don't have a ton of money or you think you're not qualified for a trust. It's a more comprehensive way to do it because it keeps it out of the courts.
All right, and you know, I'm going to come back just a minute because I don't want that to slip by people, because I know there's people listening on today's show that have got a trust. They think, I did this, I'm good. Well, let me ask you a quick question. If you've got a trust and you're listening to our show today, how certain are you that it has a do not contest clause? Here's the thing. You don't ever know. I love it when people say, I've got 6 kids, they're all going to get along. I'm going to tell you something. When money's in the mix, it don't happen as quite as seamlessly as it seems like in your brain. We'd like to all think that our kids won't fight, but the fact is they sometimes do. And the do not contest clause is like putting a blanket on a fire, man. It puts that fire out. And they don't contest, because if they do, that's one less person that's going to contest because they're out of the estate plan. So that's very important to have. The point is if you have an estate plan and you're not sure if it's in there, we would invite for you to give us a call. We'll check it out, or have Phil check it out and see if it is. And if it's not, we can at least go through the process on how to get that in there. How do you do it? 844-777-6275. 844-777-MARK. You're listening to the Retirement Income Hour. I'm Mark Falter. We're here with Phil Anderson. Phil is an attorney that we have worked together for a long time. How long have we worked together?
Since 2016.
Wow. You've got a memory like my wife. And she can remember all these dates, too.
July 7th, if you want to be specific.
Now, one of the things I want to point out is that Phil practices exclusively in the area of estate plans. So if you want to get a traffic ticket taken care of, he is not your guy.
No, okay. That's not.
However, if you do want to get a very good comprehensive estate plan, and most importantly, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sell Phil to you a little bit here. So I'll many times with our clients start the process of estate planning, and then I hand them over to Phil. He develops the trust, and I know a lot of financial advisors are control freaks, and they like to deliver that trust. I was going to do that until I watched Phil deliver a trust. It takes him an hour and 15 minutes to deliver that trust, meaning that when you leave that room, you know what you got. Because most attorneys will mail you the trust or meet you, you sign, and all that. So he explains it pretty well.
Further.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of people are thinking, you know, I can do what I need to do with a transfer on death. Actually, that's a very good point, because when I do my estate planning workshops, Phil, I get that a lot. I got TODs on everything. Why is it that TODs on everything won't work as well as having a good estate plan?
This is a area that there's a lot of confusion about. Now, if you do have transfer on death or payable on death, TOD, POD beneficiaries on an asset, it will go to those folks that you've named, your children, grandchildren, whoever that may be. But, and this is a very large, you know,
very large but
point, very large but point to remember, is that you basically are saying in equal shares to these people. What if, heaven forbid, one of those people are no longer living at the time of your passing, well, then it's just going to be between the others that are left. So oftentimes it's really not what you want, because maybe what you had hoped that the ones who are still living are going to pass that along to the children of the one who passed before you, so predeceased you. That is why it's probably a better idea, more comprehensive, more clear to everyone who's left holding the bag at the end of the day, to put those assets into a trust, and then we can plan for contingencies, because you're not allowed in a TOD designation on an account to say, but if this happens, then this person at certain ages and in percentages. So it's a blunt instrument.
There you go. That's actually a really good explanation, because I actually had a hard time explaining that. Because can you do it with TODs? Yes. But you're making the assumption, you that do it with TODs only and don't try to do an estate plan, you're making the assumption that only one scenario will happen. Well, if only the future was that clean cut. What if, I'll give you a case in point, you have a child as part of your TOD. What if that child dies with you? Do you want it to go to your grandkids? Well, everybody wants to go to their grandkids. And what if the grandkids are under the age of 18? What do you do then?
Or if they have special needs.
Right. What do they got? There's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts. And how's that saying go, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts? You know? But the point is, there's a lot of them out there. And now, one of the points I wanted to bring up here is that a lot of people will say, well, okay, I got TODs. Okay, you convinced me the TOD thing won't work. But do I really need an estate plan? Understand, if you do not, and you've got any assets at all, and you're listening to our show today, and you do not have an estate plan, it's not really a question you're answering of whether or not you should have an estate plan. The question really comes down to, do you want your estate plan, or do you want Missouri or Kansas to do it for you? Because understand something. Missouri and Kansas have already got an estate plan for you. This is not their first rodeo. You're not the first person to die and not leave beneficiaries, and they have a whole division of people down at the State Department that handles lost stuff. It's over $1 billion, I think. It's over $1 billion just with Missouri of stuff that's unclaimed. And, you know, so the point is they've got an estate plan for you, and I can assure you it is not the estate plan you want. So really what you're doing is you're putting it back into your control by getting one done. And if you're, you know, you're listening today and you're saying, okay, Mark, you got me convinced. I need to get some more information on this, but I really don't know where to start and how, what questions do I got to come up with? What do I got to do? Don't listen. I'm trying to make things as easy as possible because this is a show built with your financial future in mind, and I know complexity does not help matters. It's already a difficult enough topic, so I've made it simple, and Phil and I have put together a document. We call it the 16 questions. If you want to get these 16 questions, you can do that, 844-777-6275. The 16 questions, the whole purpose of them is that you just literally go through and ask these questions. You and your wife together, you and your spouse together, ask these questions. You're going to be 85 to 90% of the way home. 844-777-MARK. And we'll send it to you free of charge, no cost, no obligation. And if you want to have Phil take a look at your current estate plan or just talk to you about the importance of estate plan, he can do that too. Now, you might be wondering, if you're listening to our show, you know, I hear wills and I hear trusts, and you're saying trusts, and I have a will. Everybody has a will. What the heck's the difference? Well, that's exactly what we're going to cover right here on the Retirement Income Hour.
Mark Falter, 844-777-MARK.
Did you know that once you turn 72, every year Uncle Sam will be looking for a portion of your retirement savings? So now's the time to make sure you understand RMDs, required minimum distributions. What is an RMD, you ask?
These are amounts that U.S. tax laws require one to withdraw annually from traditional and employer-sponsored retirement plans once you hit age 72. If you don't, good luck in your dealings with the IRS. That's why Mark Falter has your back and put together RMD workshops so you can learn all you need to know about RMDs. Mark's next RMD workshop is set for
November 9th at 6 p.m. at Tres Omare.
Isn't it time to make sure you have all the answers you need concerning RMDs? So be sure to join Mark's next RMD workshop happening on
November 9th, 6 p.m. at Tres Omare.
To register for this RMD workshop, call 844-777-6275. That's 844-777-6275. Or log on to IncomeHour.com.
You know what they say, knowledge is power. That's why Mark Falter developed the Retirement Income Hour, so you can gain the knowledge to have the power in making the right decisions regarding the income you need to get you through your retirement years. Plus, Mark gives you a chance to learn even more through his workshops and webinars that he holds every month. For a complete listing of upcoming workshops and webinars, simply log on to MidAmericanWealthAdvisory.com. Workshops, webinars, and the Retirement Income Hour, the perfect trifecta to provide you with a stress-free retirement.
We know you're busy and have a lot of things to do on a weekend. Some days it's truly hard to do the things you want to do. Well, now you can listen to the Retirement Income Hour with Mark Falter at a time and place that's convenient for you. Mark Falter and the Retirement Income Hour is now available on a podcast. Yep. Now you can listen at your convenience. Simply head to your favorite podcast app and type in Mark Falter and you'll find the show. Oh, and be sure to subscribe and you'll get updates on new shows. Mark Falter and the Retirement Income Hour, now available on a podcast. The Retirement Income Hour, a show built with your financial future in mind.
Do you have financial retirement questions that are just boggling your mind and you're looking for answers? Well, Mark Falter would be more than happy to address those questions right here on the Retirement Income Hour. Email your questions to info@incomehour.com, and you may hear your questions answered in an upcoming episode of the Retirement Income Hour. Not only will you get the answers you need, but if Mark should read your question on the air, you'll receive a copy of Mark Falter's new book, Common Sense Income Strategies. Again, that email address is info@incomehour.com. Thanks for listening to Mark Falter and Retirement Income Hour.
It takes a lot to win a football championship. You need an excellent coach, committed players, and a superb game plan. MidAmerican Wealth Advisory can provide you with those exact elements to help you win the game of retirement. I'm Mark Falter. My team and I are committed to helping you have the stress-free retirement you deserve. We will guide your game plan from the growth stage of investing to the income stage. Can you afford the ups and downs of the stock market without a game plan? Of course not. That means you need an advisor who understands investments that produce interest and dividends. In retirement, it's all about the income. Make sure your retirement portfolio is a winner. Call MidAmerican Wealth Advisory today at 816-640-5888. That's 816-640-5888. 640-5888 or log into MidAmericanWealthAdvisory.com. Let us help you be a winner in retirement.
Investment advisory services offered through MidAmerican Wealth Advisory Group, Inc., an SEC registered investment advisory firm.
The Retirement Income Hour.
To get this week's free information, text the word booklet to 816-640-8218. Once again, here's Mark.
Well, thanks for listening to the Retirement Income Hour again. I'm Mark Falter. We're here with Phil Anderson today. He is on our show today. He is an attorney I've worked with for quite a long time. And he is a graduate of KU Law 1997. He practices exclusively in the area of estate planning. We have sent a lot of clients to Phil to have them. Matter of fact, I guarantee you there's multiple people listening to this show right now that have done their estate plan through you.
Yeah.
And so I think he's done over 1,000 estate plans. And so we want to cover that most common question: the heck is the difference between a will and a trust? Tell us a little bit, Phil, about what the heck the difference is.
Well, there are a few differences, but the main thing is that a trust is done, and it's a more comprehensive document. It's set up so that your estate never goes in front of a judge into probate. If you set up the trust and you, very importantly, properly fund the trust, and that's a term of art, and so we could if we get into it, we can talk about that more, but that basically just means making sure that the assets are going into the trust so that they can be distributed out of the trust after you pass. The trust is privately administered. A will, on the other hand, it's better, don't get me wrong, it's better if you have just a will, it's so much better to have a will than not have any will, because if you die what's called intestate or without a will, that state plan that you referred to before, that kicks in. The court will first pay off your expenses, and then it will distribute whatever assets it can find to closest living relatives. Now, you may have your closest living relatives, but you'd rather the money go to someone else, and none of them should get anything. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's your money. But if you have a will, all a will is instructions to the court on how to run probate. Much better than not having a will, but it's still probate. Mm-hmm. Some people think, I've got a will, I've avoided probate. No, you've just given the court instructions on how to run probate.
Right.
Trusts help you avoid probate completely. I call it trust probate insurance.
Right. And avoids it. Yeah, I tell people, I say, you know, if you basically don't have any estate plan, a judge has to make the decisions. If you have a will, you've at least given the judge a roadmap in which to drive on. If you want to avoid the judge altogether, which is my suggestion, get a trust. And that is that. You know, now, here real quick, I was thinking of something. It was a memory that involved you when you were talking about probates, estates. I was doing my estate planning workshop. I don't do a lot of them now. I do the radio show instead. But anyways, I just wanted to try to make a point. I heard another advisor do it. It sounded cool. And I said, hey, Phil, can you find me several cases that are currently in probate? Took you about 20 minutes to find them, and you gave me 3 cases. And so what I would do is I would go to the estate planning workshop, and I would read details out of these 3 probate things that took you 20 minutes to find online. And I had to quit using them because I could rapidly tell that people thought I was disclosing private information because I knew the person's middle initial. No. I knew the address of the contingent beneficiary. I knew what the accounts were invested in. And I had to quit using them because people thought, or you're disclosing private information. And I was like, oh, you missed the whole point. It took us 20 minutes to find this. So the question I ask people is, how many of you, right, show of hands, want your personal stuff all out there on the internet for the world to see upon your death? No hands go up. That's how many people should have wills because that's literally what happens, you know?
Yeah, and in any will, anything but a trust that stays out of court allows someone to get on the internet, and I didn't use any special fancy lawyer passwords or websites.
No, you didn't.
To find this information, and you can look it up yourselves. You'll find the name of the person, when they died, where they lived, who their children are, who got what. And some people can mine that information, nefarious individuals out there that prey on information that's readily available on the internet. I think we all get spam emails every day as a result of this sort of thing, the free flow of information. That is out there. But with a trust, no one sees it because it doesn't go through the court.
That alone is worth $1,500. You know, that's, by the way, that's what Phil will do an estate plan for you for as a married couple, $1,500. And if you want to get information on how to do that, again, I'd invite you to get hold of us at 844-777-6275. Again, 844-777-MARK. While you're on the phone with us, ask for the 16 questions. Ask for them by name, no cost, no obligation. We can email them to you, and you can start the process of establishing that. And if you want to visit with Phil, he'll do that free of charge. Again, 844-777-6275. You're listening to the Retirement Income Hour. I'm Mark Falter. We're here with Phil Anderson. Phil is an attorney that we have worked together for a long time. Okay, so again, let's talk a little bit about this, because this is a very confusing thing, and that is wills. We'll get the judge a roadmap of which to go on in order to get through probate. Trusts will avoid probate. We are advocates of trusts, as you can tell here. So then the person calls you up, Phil, and they say, Phil, I want to do a trust. Come and visit me. You do a trust. Trust is done. Almost everybody does that and says, I am done. That is part one, very important part, but part one. Part two is funding the trust. Now, when I do estate planning workshops, I usually lead with this, and that is I usually lead with all of the people that didn't have estate plans, but then invariably I bring up Michael Jackson. Why Michael Jackson? Well, first of all, he's worth $650 million upon his death, but secondly, he is the, you know, I could go on five people, Elvis Presley, Aretha Franklin.
Prince.
Prince. A lot of these people didn't have estate plans. Nothing.
Prince didn't even have a will.
He didn't have nothing. But now, what's really wild is Michael Jackson had a trust.
A very good one.
Yeah, very good one. And never funded it.
Right.
And everything went through probate. So let's talk about funding the trust. What is that involve?
Funding the trust, and people get the word funding makes some people uncomfortable or confused. Funding is just a term that we use, a shorthand, and it's used across the industry. I tend to think of it as like feeding the trust. What it means is once you've established your trust, you've signed the documents, we've got it all set up on paper, what you next need to do is actually make sure that your assets are in the trust, so that your successor trustee, the person that is going to be administering the trust, your estate, after you're gone, has access to those assets, has the authority to distribute them to your beneficiaries who you've appropriately named in detailed fashion inside the trust. How do you do that? I go step by step through that with folks that I work with, and in fact, there's a section in the binder that you'll get if you work with me and most attorneys on, you know, funding. How do you do that? And I provide specific examples, the most common of which would be real estate, accounts, investments, cars. Each one of these things are handled a bit differently. For example, if you own real property, I will create a deed where it says you as individuals or individual, give that property to yourself as trustee of the trust. This gets a little complicated, but the main point is you've got to take the next step and put things into the trust name. That doesn't mean you don't own it. That doesn't mean you don't have complete control. You can change it later, but it's there. So the successor trustee can access it and distribute it. If they don't, if you don't put it in the trust, you're dealing with the situation of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson, yeah.
And it falls into probate.
Yeah, and you know the illustration I always tell people, and this is a dumb one, they, for some reason, funding the trust is like speaking a foreign language when you tell people that, what the heck, how's that, how you do that? It actually takes a very short period of time to fund the trust. But here's a good way to think about it. Everybody gets this. You go and you say, I want to put $1,000 into an IRA. You go down to the bank, or with us, you start an IRA. Well, you got to get the $1,000 into the account. If you put the $1,000 into the IRA account you just established, you funded the IRA. It's really no different in funding a trust. It's not that hard to do, but lots of people don't do it, and that is a very, very important thing to do. And we're talking today about estate planning. We're talking to Phil Anderson, and Phil is an attorney we've worked with for years and years and years and has helped a lot of our clients. He will do a trust for $1,500 for a married couple. But if you want to get more information and you want to know where to start, we have put together a list of 16 questions that you can ask for by name, and we'll send them to you free of charge, and it will help you with whether you want to use Phil or you want to use your current attorney. And, you know, this is a show built with your financial future in mind. So you can take these 16 questions, and you're going to find use of it anywhere. And it will at least help you get the process started. How do you get it? 844-777-6275. Again, 844-777-MARK. Ask for it by name, the 16 questions. And this is the Retirement Income Hour. We're talking today about estate planning. My name is Mark Falter. We're here with Phil Anderson. Phil is a attorney we've worked with for years, graduate of KU Law in 1997, works exclusively in the area of estate planning. And I made a little note here, and I was going to talk about that, and that is real estate. So you got real estate. Most people listening to our show today have got real estate. You die, you think the house will go to your children. Now, if you're a joint owner with your spouse, it's going to go to your spouse, but you and your spouse die. Go ahead and Google it right now. What happens to that house upon both parties' death? It does not go to the kids. It goes into probate. And how do you, Phil, get that around probate, that real estate?
There's a couple different ways. Of course, if you've got a trust, we establish, we put it into the trust, we fund the trust with that asset by creating a new deed where we reference the trust as the holder of that asset for probate avoidance purposes. And then that deed is filed, it's on record. That doesn't change your ownership. You can still sell the house. That doesn't change how you pay your insurance or taxes or anything else. It's simply for probate avoidance. Now, if you don't have a trust, there's another way to do it. You can do what's called a beneficiary deed or a transfer on death deed, where you name in the deed the people that you want it to go to. That is, however, if we're going to go down the road of what ifs, if the people you name in that deed aren't living, or you wanted it to the shares to go, that one person's share to go to your grandchildren instead of a child, that's not going to happen with the beneficiary deed. So a trust is just a more comprehensive way to go. But those are the two different ways to get that out of probate, avoid probate.
Yeah, so basically I tell people you got to do something. Everything you have can have a beneficiary on it. It's just people really haven't thought this through. You wouldn't believe it. I guarantee you there's a lot of people listening to our show today that have got bank accounts that don't have TODs on them. They don't have beneficiaries. They've got real estate that don't have beneficiary deeds on it that you know, it's going to go into probate. So it's just, you want to avoid that if at all possible. And you know, let me kind of explain something that I find is somewhat helpful when people are trying to understand estate planning. When you have a will, you're going to get a total of four documents. You're going to get the will, the durable power of attorney for financial matters, the durable power of attorney for health care matters, and the beneficiary deed, or whatever you want to call it, warranty deed. With a trust, you get basically another document. You still get a will. And I remember one time asking you, what is the purpose of it's called a pour-over will, with a trust. What was the reason you told me that that existed?
Yeah, great question, because I get that question all the time too. I've got this trust. Why do I have a will? Isn't this double dipping, or what? Is this redundant? Are you just trying to pad your bill? Well, absolutely not. Importance of having a will with a trust, and the wills look markedly different. You'd see it if you put them side by side. A standalone will looks much more different, and it's much longer than a pour-over will. And a pour-over will is what you have with a trust. It directs the court and asks the court, because we always have to ask the court. We can't tell the court. We ask the court in language that basically says, "Dear court, I tried to get everything into my trust, fund my trust completely, but if I miss something, please at this time, dear court, move that over, pour it over any assets that I may have missed into my trust at this time." And the court will do that with quite a few different types of property, but we still want to make sure we fund everything as completely as possible so that we can still avoid probate. But it does serve a very important purpose. Also, if you have minor children, you have to have a will to direct who guardians would be of your minor children, if both you and the biological, your other biological parent have both passed. That's something that has to be in a will, because that has to be directed by the court. The court has to take action on that. So there's some things that still have to be in there, even with a trust, for a will.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're getting down to the tail end of the show here, and again, if you're just now tuning in, it's the Retirement Income Hour. I'm Mark Falter. We're here with Phil Anderson, and Phil is our attorney that we work heavily with, and we do a lot of trust together. We want to talk about, just with a few minutes left, some of the other most important parts of an estate plan. What are those, Phil?
You know, I say this to folks all the time. If you have tons of money, tons of assets, or nothing at all, you still need a couple documents to make sure that you don't have to go to the court to get someone to help you if you are living and incapacitated. And these are powers of attorney. These allow you to specify in a financial power of attorney who you want to take care of your finances if you can't do that for yourself, if you're incapacitated. For health care, there's a separate one, and that does the same thing. Who do you want to make decisions for you? And then, of course, you voice to them, tell them exactly how you want things to be done. And the power of attorney for healthcare has a living will or advanced directive for end-of-life care decisions. That's something you want to decide yourself and make known to others, so that your loved ones or friends and family that you've specified as having the authority to make decisions for you, they know what you want. And we can tailor that and make it as specific and as personalized for you as it needs to be. So those are some things where you're taking decisions out of their hands, because that's some tough decisions to make.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And also empowers them to do things that they otherwise would simply not have the ability to do.
Right, and these are important documents. And most people listening to the show today, unfortunately, don't have them. Or, hey, let's say you got them done 7 to 10 years ago and you just want to get a checkup. Well, that's what we're here for. Again, 844-777-6275. Love to check your estate planning documents out and or get you in the process of working with Phil to where you can get an estate plan done, or just call him and ask him some free questions. But if you do an estate plan with him, it runs around $1,500, very competitively priced. Again, 844-777-6275. Thanks again for listening. That is about all of the time that we have. We could go on for 2 hours on this topic, but I wanted to try to hit the high points of the estate planning. I appreciate you being on the show today, Phil. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, Mark, and it was a pleasure speaking with you.
Hey, thanks, and thank you guys for listening to the Retirement Income Hour, and until next week, we bid you farewell.
Mark Falter is a registered investment advisor representative with MidAmerican Wealth Advisory Group. MidAmerican Wealth Advisory Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that any discussions or information presented serves as the receipt of or a substitute for personalized advice from a financial professional and is not intended as an offer of solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for
for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Insurance products are sold through Allianz, American Equity, Athene, Brighthouse, F&G, Gillico, Global Atlantic, Great American, Midland National, North American, and Protective. The opinions spoken are only opinions and not statements of material fact. The opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all the supporting facts to verify these opinions.
Retirement Income Hour.
Registration as an investment advisor does not apply a certain level of skill or training.